Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Brian Caribou on Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks for joining us today. It's Friday, June 3rd, and we're getting ready for the Donald Driver Celebrity Softball Game this weekend. The biggest event on the Packers calendar here this offseason. Thanks for joining me. Sorry I'm a little bit under the weather here, folks. I'm sorry my voice sounds terrible today. But I'm pushing on. I'm plugging on. I'll live. It's a beautiful day here in Wisconsin, though. I'll tell you that. It's almost hard to believe I have a cold when it's June. It's going to be the warmest day of the year today, possibly hitting in the 90s here in Wisconsin. Absolutely beautiful, gorgeous. I can't wait to get outside later today. And here I am with a cold. Quite a nasty one, too. I'm heavily medicated. Been taking my daytime and nighttime cold medicine to get me through this. Just came on like 2 days ago on Wednesday. Colds, they come on fast. It's like you get them almost, you know, it's like almost immediately, like you're congested and stuffy nose, runny nose. It like happens very fast. So, like, the peak, the worst part of the cold happens within, you know, the first 2 days or so. And then it takes about 2 weeks to kick after that. So, like, yesterday was the worst, was the peak already. I could feel it. And I'll just keep getting better from here on out. But those colds, they linger. Enough about my cold. Getting to today's show, if you want to comment, feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will show up on our blog, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. Your comments are also being approved by our moderator extraordinaire Alex Talich this morning of Packers Lounge. Our roadmap for this morning's show is today's Packers Daily Links. If you scroll up on the live blog up near the top, I left a link to it. We're going to get right to it today. In the news today, in the world of the Green Bay Packers, like I said, the big story today is the Donald Driver Celebrity Softball Game happening this weekend. If you want to click the first link, it'll take you to the Bucky channel. And tickets are still available. About 500 tickets remain or so. And if I just read this. Quote, as of Thursday morning, there are around 500 general admission tickets remaining for Sunday's game. If fans are interested in attending, they should stop by the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers ticket office at Time Warner Cable Field or call 800-WI-TIMBER or 920-733-4152 before all the tickets are gone. The ticket office is open until 5 p.m. on Thursday, which is past already, from 9 o'clock to 5 p.m. on a Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. The general admission tickets are $10. So yeah, just a little bit more about the Donald Driver Celebrity Softball Game. For those that don't know, and I would assume most people who watch this show know, but, you know, perhaps a little bit of background is pertinent here. You know, this used to be the Brett Favre Celebrity Softball Game. It's held every year, same place, at Time Warner Cable Field in Appleton, where the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers play. I guess technically it is Grand Chute, Wisconsin. Technically, it is, it like literally must be right smack dab on the border, though, right by Appleton, where the minor league affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers play, the single-A ball club, Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. And, you know, Brett Favre had been doing this for several years in the offseason, just, you know, an event kind of to get the team back together, have fun, raise money for charity. Normally, OTAs or mini camp would be going on right about now. Not happening right now in the NFL calendar because of the lockout that's currently in place. But, you know, usually all the players, or most of them, 90% plus of them, would be in Green Bay right now practicing. So they wouldn't be flying in from all over the country for this. This year they are because of the lockout. But, yeah, anyway, Donald Driver took over this game when Brett Favre left. Brett Favre retired. Now he actually is retired, supposedly. But Donald Driver took it over, and, you know, he's kind of been one of the faces of the franchise ever since Brett Favre left. One of the more recognizable faces. Nobody can forget his smile. Is there anything better than a Donald Driver smile? All teeth. Just unbelievable. But yeah, he took it over. And, you know, it's been going strong ever since. And here they are this weekend. I don't even remember how many in a row this is. You know, dating back to when Brett Favre ran it. This is going on for over a decade, I would venture to guess. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun. It's a good event, raises money for charity, and it's, you know, it's, you're not going to see a great softball game by any means, but it's a chance for fans to see Packers up close, get a few autographs, and, you know, just a fun day at the ballpark. Alex Talich, I'm sure, could, you know, tell a few tales about the softball game yesterday. It left him in a little bit of a sour taste in his mouth. Alex attended this game last year. It wasn't the game itself by any means that left a sour taste in Alex's mouth, but it was, I believe, the professional autograph seekers that really kind of soured him a little bit on the event. And it shouldn't be so much this event, but, you know, just professional autograph seekers in general, the type of people. And if you've attended training camp in Green Bay, you've seen these people who have, you know, albums, portfolios of, you know, like every football card of every player on the team. And 8x10 photos and memorabilia and you name it. And they kind of, you know, target events like this where they know they can get a lot of autographs. And it is a little bit pathetic that, you know, they're just out there for the sake of, you know, getting the autograph and, you know, turning around and eventually selling it. How they do it, no clue. eBay, perhaps. So, yeah. I mean, it's a shame. You know, you think autographs, they're for kids mostly. I mean, that's great. I think, you know, that's who should get the priority in autographs would be kids, children. And there's nothing wrong with wanting an autograph as an adult. I have many autographed memorabilia in, you know, my basement, even right here behind me. That little picture of Greg Jennings right there is autographed. You know, I received that as a gift, but, and you know, that was saying that probably Greg Jennings was paid to autograph actually when he actually did as part of a business, but, it's, you know, businesses that are set up for that will actually pay players for their autographs. You know, something very nice frame like that all put together, a plaque. You know, that's how it should be done, you know. If you're in the business of getting autographs, paying the players, and, you know, Greg Jennings probably sat down and autographed probably 1,000 items, pictures and footballs and jerseys and you name it. And that's the way it should be done. Instead of, you know, adults like this, you know, just getting together and hoarding players and, you know, at the expense of, you know, getting in the way of kids and other things like that. It is a pathetic spectacle when that happens. And again, nothing wrong with adults getting autographs. It's just the people who are there for the sake of the autograph to profit from it. Just, you know, I understand. I understand why, you know, somebody could be turned off by that. But that doesn't mean the Donald Driver softball game is an event that, you know, you know, things like that shouldn't tarnish the whole event. You know, we're talking about the minority here. These autograph seekers, autograph hounds. We're talking about a minority. We're talking about a few people that ruin it for the rest. So, I mean, I encourage everybody to go out there and have a good time at the softball game. It's for fun. It's for charity. And just enjoy it for what it is. I'll be there this weekend on Sunday covering the game for Cheesehead TV. So hopefully those of you who are living far away can't make it. Make sure to tune in to Cheesehead TV and we'll have some coverage of the event and get some interviews from players and things like that. Find out what's going on as far as the lockout goes. In our Packers Daily Links, once again, they released rosters for Sunday's game yesterday. And they can be found at the Appleton Post Crescent. And if you click the second link in today's Packers Daily Links, it'll take you to that article. And, you know, that the headliners, the biggest names are Aaron Rodgers is going to be there, the Super Bowl MVP, as well as cornerback Charles Woodson. And, you know, I'll just run through quickly all the names that are going to be there this weekend. The offense roster, you know, in addition to Driver and Rodgers, we got JerMichael Finley, Andrew Corliss, Tom Crabtree, DJ Williams, Brian Bulaga, Josh Sitton, TJ Lang, Marshall Newhouse, Matt Flynn, Chasten West, and Antonio Robinson. And then on the defensive roster, joining Charles Woodson, we got Nick Collins, Pat Lee, Devon House, Mike Neal, Frank Zombo, Ricky Elmore, Tim Maste, and Mason Crosby. So, you know, a good list of names there, you know, for this weekend's event. Several rookies getting involved. Good to see Donald Driver reaching out to them, inviting them to be part of this. None of the top guys, though. None of the top draft choices. First rounder Derek Sherrod, second rounder Randall Cobb, or third rounder Alex Green. Those guys aren't coming. I wonder why they're not. But from there on out, a lot of the younger guys coming to town, getting involved. Cornerback Devon House, tight end DJ Williams, outside linebacker Ricky Elmore, and linebacker DJ Smith. So it looks like four of them, if I'm correct, are coming this weekend for the game. And you know, it could be the first time they're coming to the area, to Green Bay. You know, obviously with the lockout going on, you know, not a lot going on in Green Bay right now. You know, I suppose speaking about the lockout here, we could talk about that a little bit because, you know, a little bit of a breakthrough was made yesterday. And pardon me while I just kind of pause here for a second. If you want to call into the show, I put the number up on the screen. It is 646-797-2909. If you want to talk about the Donald Driver softball game, talk about the NFL lockout, feel free to call into the show. And just as a point of, later on this hour, at the bottom of the hour at 8:30, we'll be joined by Thomas Hobbs of allgreenbaypackers.com here on Railbird Central as we wrap up the feature on allgreenbaypackers.com as we've had several of the writers out over the past 2 weeks. And so we're going to be talking to Thomas Hobbs a little bit later this hour. But getting back to the NFL lockout, yeah, so the big news yesterday, the so-called secret meeting in Chicago or the Chicago area between NFL owners and Commissioner Roger Goodell, along with members of the NFLPA, Players Association, headed by DeMaurice Smith, and several players. So, it kind of started out to be a secret meeting until, news leaked that this was occurring. And the word coming out of Chicago, or nearby Chicago at least, is that they're entering settlement talks. So, looks like they've actually done a little negotiating and have, made progress. I'm told, or I read, that this doesn't, mean the lockout is coming to an end anytime soon, because today, this appeal is still occurring. We've been hearing about this June 3rd date for a long time. Originally, in Minnesota, a judge had ruled in favor of the players, and, the lockout was very briefly ended, but then it was, they got a stay from the Circuit Court of Appeals, and now finally today, the hearing, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis, Missouri, will be hearing this case between the NFL and the NFLPA. So, there is still things to be hammered out in a courtroom here, but at least progress is being made, entering settlement talks. So that's good. Progress made. That's a good thing. I'm being warned not to, get too much into this, get too optimistic. But, I would assume that what happens in court today and over the next several days will play a large part in the CBA, who has the leverage, the owners of the players. But, something might eventually be done here. The season might be saved. As the media has been telling us, we're now less than 100 days away from the start of the NFL season, from opening day of the regular season. I think I read an article earlier this week that in order for the season to be saved, the regular season at least, a deal would have to be made by August 15th or something along those lines, in order for all the regular season games to be played on time, at least August 15th. But it's possible that a deal may be struck ahead of that time. We will see. As John Rahor says on our live blog here, comments, cautiously optimistic is my approach. Yes, cautiously optimistic. That seems to be the inappropriate word. And I see right now, on a link right on our Twitter widget. I can see that there's an article at Cheesehead TV up right now on the super secret CBA meetings. So I have yet to even read that article myself. I'll have to check that out a little bit later. But yeah. So cautiously optimistic is the way we're looking at this. We will see as it plays out in court today. I'm sure we'll be hearing tons of news from all across the mainstream media and the not so mainstream today about what happens in the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis. I'm sure ESPN will have plenty of reporting from there, as well as the NFL Network. And those of you on Twitter, your timelines will be filled by reports coming out of there. And it's not like a decision is going to be made today. Today, just the hearing begins, I guess. Could take days till this whole thing is hammered out. Weeks. But we'll be waiting on pins and needles, on the edge of our seats, to see what happens here and see if we finally have football in the fall and this lockout may or may not end. In other news today, if we go back to today's Packers Daily Links, after we get through the news of the Donald Driver softball game, one of the other big stories coming out of yesterday, guard Darren College, free agent guard, talked to Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com, ESPNMadison.com, was a guest on his Green and Gold Today show, local radio show, and kind of talked about his time in Green Bay, reflected upon it, talked about the lockout and free agency and, you know, all sort of the uncertainty that goes along with it. You know, Darren College is kind of a casualty of the lockout because he's in one of those guys who you don't know what's going to happen to him. You don't know if he's going to be a restricted or an unrestricted free agent and don't know if he'll be back with the Packers next year. He may or may not. They've offered him a tender if he is a restricted free agent, but you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know how it's going to work out. And he told him, quote, I think for guys like me, I can only work on the things that I can control. There's a lot of things that are up in the air, and I can't affect those. So right now, the things I'm working on are staying in the best shape I can, continue to work on my drills. So if I'm back with Green Bay, I have the possibility to be the best left guard I can be for them. And if they decide to let me go and I'm picked up by another team, that I'm the best in the best shape I can be to learn a new system and take that opportunity for what it is. You know, you kind of get the feel that perhaps Darren College feels he's on the way out in Green Bay. But you just don't know. I don't want to say he is. You just don't know based upon this whole CBA mess, whether he'll be back or not. You know, he's a free agent right now, but he could be restricted and, you know, he'll sign his tender for one more year perhaps and be back with the Packers for one more season and be their starting left guard probably if he does come back. But, you know, Darren College did not take part in these, you know, highly publicized offensive line workouts in Tennessee this week that have been getting so much attention. And that's because, you know, he explained it a little bit. You know, I wouldn't get too bent out of shape out of this because, you know, he lives in the off season in his college alma mater in Boise, Idaho. And his wife is just weeks away from giving birth to a baby. And I'm not sure, as this might be his first child. Yes, it is, as I scroll down in the Jason Willey article. So he's going to become a dad for the first time here in just weeks. So, you know, he had a reason not to take part in these workouts, you know, in addition to not really being a member of the Green Bay Packers, at least currently not under contract. So, you know, he had his reasons for not joining that whole crew. But, you know, the reports are that he is working out in Boise with members of the college Boise State football team. So, you know, we'll see. Once again, we kind of just play the waiting game, see how this all works out. You know, if he does come back, it's, you know, there's kind of a log jam as to who will be the starting left guard for the Packers this year. Whether it's him, whether it's TJ Lang, you know, kind of like that seems to be the top choice for the next in line at, you know, the next shot at that job. You know, also in the mix are Nick McDonald, you know, first round draft choice, Derek Sherrod, even a move by Brian Bulaga to left guard where he played some in training camp last year is now the question. Did I mention Marshall Newhouse, a draft choice last year? Lots of options. Rookie this year, Caleb Schlotteroff, sixth rounder. Lots of different directions the team may go. Jason Spitz, another free agent for the Packers. Another guy who's kind of up in the air in Never Never Land. He, too, don't know if he'll be a restricted free agent or an unrestricted one. From what I've gathered, though, they did not offer Jason Spitz a restricted free agent tender, if indeed he does fall within that class when they hammer out a new CBA. So perhaps he will not be back with the team. I mean, it's always possible that the Packers re-sign him regardless without having to sign a tender for him. But, you know, it's, again, you just can't, you know, you can't, you don't know. It's just up in the air until, you know, some actual, you know, real progress is made and we start to find out, you know, how this CBA is going to work out, what kind of rules they're going to have in place. You just don't know what's going to happen with these players, and it's tough for me to speculate, and anybody for that matter, to figure out what's going on. It's almost 8:30. Going to take a break here. Once again, when we come back, we will have Thomas Hobbs of All Green Bay Packers on the line, and we'll be talking to him very, very shortly. Hang on. We'll be right back.
This is Brett Swain from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Welcome back to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. And joining me right now on the line is Thomas Hobbs of AllGreenBayPackers.com. Thomas, how are you this morning?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Very good. Thanks for joining us as we feature many of the writers here at All Green Bay Packers. Thomas, as I've talked to, you know, your colleagues there, Al Bracco, Adam Check, Chad Deporski, tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do for a living and how you became a Packers fan?
Yeah. So actually how I became a Packers fan is kind of a little bit random, but, the very first time I remember watching football was actually the, 1992, NFC Championship. And that was between the Cowboys and the Niners, and I think still right now it's one of the, you know, the biggest games in history. You know, Steve Young, Jerry Rice,
yep,
Troy Aikman, Michael Irving, Emmitt Smith. You know, the list goes on and on. Yeah, but the, you know, overall impression I got from football from that game was you know, football was stupid. I didn't really get the game. I didn't understand why a bunch of people in helmets were running into each other. But yeah, so basically it took one of my friends to kind of sit down with me and actually teach me the game of football before I actually sort of started to enjoy it. And my friend was from Wisconsin, so he rooted for the Packers. And so I root for the Packers, and that's kind of how that started.
So, I mean, you must be pretty young, I'm guessing. You said, you know, you just got into it in 92, relatively young. And you said your friend was from Wisconsin. You're not from Wisconsin?
No, I've actually never been to Wisconsin at all.
Where are you from? Where are you located?
I'm actually right now in Canada as a graduate student, but originally I am from the States. That's pretty much it. So I'm actually an immunologist right now, and I'm studying diabetes.
Okay. So how'd you get involved in blogging? How did you hook up with the guys at All Green Bay Packers?
That's actually kind of random too. So I just randomly one day did a Google search on Packers news because I was really bored. Mm-hmm. And one of the big pages of the day was a post called Jersey Al's Green Bay Packers NFL Draft 2010 Analysis Number 1 Trade Deck. And that was on the Bleachers Report.
Okay.
And it's actually still a really good article, and I recommend all your readers to check it out. For some reason, like, the article just made a lot of sense. Like, it made sense from a Packers perspective. It made sense from, like, an economic perspective. And it made a lot of sense from, you know, just from the analysis. And so I thought that article was really, really interesting. And I sort of said, hey, that seems like something fun to do. So I started blogging as well. And then after a while, Jersey Al asked me to post one of my own articles on Bleacher Report onto his blog, and that's kind of how it started.
You obviously have a, you know, some sort of connection with the draft. You're interested in it. You wrote a series of articles prior to the draft about kind of the prototypical players the Packers draft from a measurable standpoint: height, weight, and you know, the their athletic feats, their 40 times and bench press, et cetera, et cetera. You know, after, you know, in retrospect now, do you think the Packers kind of stuck to those measurables when they drafted players this year?
Yeah, I think they did overall. I think one of the biggest surprises for me was DJ Smith. I think he was the sixth round out of Appalachian State.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 5'11", which is considerably shorter than I think the majority of linebackers in general. I think most linebackers measure, you know, at least over 6 feet, usually more about 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
I think Clay Matthews is about 6'3", so that probably gives you the prototypical outside linebacker. And then I think, Desmond Bishop and A.J. Hawker are around, you know, 6'1", 6'2", so being 5'11 is actually quite a big deal, I think.
So he was of one of the outliers, the exceptions to the rule.
Right, but then you have to also factor in his draft selection. So obviously the earlier the draft pick, the more, I guess, the less chance that you have to take on each player. So obviously on the sixth round, you can be a little bit more risky. Obviously other factors such as his production, since he was apparently a very, very good tackler and a really good special teams player in college, you know, that can factor in later on.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I mean, you're not going to take risks in the first round. You're going to go with the known quantities. But when you get to the sixth, seventh round, you might take a little bit more of a flyer on a player. And what's your reaction to the draft in general? Are there any selections that stick out to you, players that you're kind of intrigued by?
First, I think overall, just the sheer fact that this draft is so dominated by offensive players, I think to me signals that, you know, the 3-4 conversion might be close to finished. I know a lot of fans were clamoring for an outside linebacker across from Clay Matthews and, you know, also maybe a defensive end, since, you know, we're having some issues with Colin Jenkins leaving and, you know, who knows with Johnny Jolly. But, you know, we had the first three, which are, you know, considered the premium picks, were all offensive players. So to me, I think that's actually quite interesting. So maybe maybe the 3-4 conversion is actually done. And I think a lot of fans, you know, sometimes forget that, you know, the Packers only switched to the 3-4 2 years ago. And usually, you know, the 3-4 is actually quite confusing for a lot of, you know, a lot of players to sort of comprehend. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's built on being complicated. So, I mean, I think that's quite surprising, actually.
You're from Canada. Do you have any connection with the Canadian game, the brand of football they play over there that is, you know, quite a bit different in, I mean, not drastically different, but some of their rules are a little bit different in the Canadian Football League?
Yeah, ironically, I don't know too much about the Canadian Football League. I know that, like, I think their end zones are, like, 20 yards or maybe 20 meters. I can't remember if they're actually on a metric or not. But, yeah, they definitely don't have the same, I guess, notoriety, obviously. And I think here it's a big hockey thing. So football is always number two, which is quite interesting.
anything to look forward to on allgreenbaypackers.com, things you'll be working on in the future? I understand, you know, we're kind of an uncertain future and as terms of where this lockout is going, but anything we can look forward to in the next weeks, months?
That's a really good question. Actually, I mean, it sort of really depends on what happens today, right? So if we've come to some sort of conclusion with the CBA lockout, I'm sure everyone will be talking about that. But if, you know, the lockout continues and, you know, the ownership and the players keep, I guess, going through litigation, then, you know, who knows how long it'll last. I guess I could always talk about next year's draft, but it might be a little bit too early for that.
Thomas, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you and everybody at allgreenbaypackers.com joining us on the show. Thanks again, and we'll talk later.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. Have a good day. Thomas Hobbs of allgreenbaypackers.com joining us here on Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. As that kind of wraps up our feature on that website, as we talk to many Packers across the blogosphere. Going to be having some more guests join us next week, I believe on Tuesday. We're set up for Monty McMahon of Total Packers. Next Friday, a week from today, going to talk to C.D. Angeli of TundraVision.com. So, again, you know, looking across the whole entire Packers blogosphere this off-season as we, you know, wade our way through the uncertainty. So, good to talk to many of the writers in the blogosphere out there and get their feelings on what is happening in going on in the world of Green Bay Packers here locally. As we look at what else is going on in the world of the Packers, you know, I'm going to point out just a few things that are going on here on the internet, at least. Yesterday announced the Mike and Jessica McCarthy Golf Tournament. If you click this link that says McCarthy Golf Tournament, it'll take you to charityauctionstoday.com, and they actually have a lot of stuff, you know, for Packer fans. If you're a memorabilia fan, a lot of interesting things that you can actually bid on and win. And again, for a good cause, going to charity, the Mike and Jessica McCarthy Charity Golf Tournament is benefiting the American Family Children's Hospital. And as we can see here, as we scroll down, you can see on the live broadcast, Aaron Rodgers autographed jersey, Aaron Rodgers autographed helmet, autographed Super Bowl football, Mike McCarthy autographed canvas. Oh, then you can actually bid on dining with Coach McCarthy and play golf. Wow, look at that. The current bid over $3,000, $3,050 already to dine and play golf with Coach McCarthy. Way out of my league, But no, I'm glad somebody out there is, you know, they have these great items and people are able to afford those. Not me, but lots of great items as we can just continue to scroll down here and you can see them. So follow the links on today's Packers Day links to take part in those. The golf outing itself and the sponsors dinner that goes along with it the day prior would be June 12th and the golf tournament to follow on June 13th. Elsewhere, going on the internet at pocketdoppler.com yesterday, a Q&A with tight end Tom Crabtree, as you can see. I want to point that out. I write from time to time at pocketdoppler.com. Great website, and Q&A with tight end Tom Crabtree appearing there, and an interview with Bobby Dillon appears at the Packers official website. Bobby Dillon being the franchise's leading interceptor in franchise history. So they've been kind of doing a series of articles there at the Packers official website with former Packers, some of the top players in franchise history. And this one on, you know, a guy who's played, you know, even before the Lombardi glory years back in the 1950s. Just, I think his last season was perhaps Lombardi's first season, if I read that right. So, you know, not known to even some of the older Packer fans so much. You know, you really got to go back and you know, find somebody a little bit older who remembers Bobby Dillon. So interesting to read a little bit of background on him and how many interceptions he actually had, which is quite impressive. As they mentioned in the article, they only had about 12 games a season back then as opposed to, you know, 16 nowadays. So a lot less opportunity for a guy to get interceptions back then, and to have as many as a guy like Bobby Dillon had, quite impressive. So, you know, just several things that have been happening across the Packers blogosphere. Anyway, folks, it's such a beautiful day. I'm wrapping it up here. I'm Railbird Central. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for Thomas Hobbs for joining us. And, you know, I'm sure you don't want to listen to my nasally voice anymore anyway as I try to get over this cold. Hopefully getting out in the 90 degrees today will do us all some good. So enjoy your Friday, folks. Enjoy the weekend. The Packers tent sale is tomorrow. If you live in the Green Bay area, head to Lambeau Field in their parking lot. They'll be selling items, game used items even, at the Packers Pro Shop tent sale. Have a good weekend, everyone. We'll see you next Tuesday here on Railbird Central. See ya.